Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould. Tonight is the gathering show where we talk about what you want to talk about. You've emailed questions to us. You're welcome, most welcome, to join in our conversation or ask a question live. If you want to do that, the number here is 888-627-6008. And before we get started, not much to tell you in terms of things going on. The raffle, the Summer Solstice Raffle, it's an all-star cast. People like, John Holland and Sandra O'Connor and three other wonderful FFF mediums. So I know that entries have been brisk, and that'll be going on for a while, so you could buy your chance to win a reading with one of them for $5. Just want to mention also, as you know, the July grief retreat was filled. Very shortly, there'll be details about the Florida grief retreat, which will be in January. And we are very close to announcing a retreat in California in October. So that will... you'll have some choices there, so you can check the events page. And of course, if you're a member, we'll be letting you know when these things are ready. So as I mentioned, we have a bunch of questions that people wrote in, and we'll discuss them for what it's worth, and maybe you could teach us a few things. And let's start off with the first one here. Let's see. It says, "Hello, I always wonder about reincarnation. My daughter was stillborn in 2018, and I've had local mediums tell me that she'll come back as my next child. I'm pregnant now. It kind of messes with my head, since I like to think of Haley as Haley and this baby as her own person. So I'm wondering about your experiences. What's your personal opinion on reincarnation?" We've discussed reincarnation a lot. I have to tell you that, my radar goes up a bit, when the medium says that, your deceased daughter is going to come back, as another daughter. I mean, that may be true. Who knows? But it's something that sometimes mediums say, and how can you really verify it, So I wouldn't put a tremendous amount of stock in that. And here at the gathering, all the three of us, I know we all believe in reincarnation. The evidence is abundant, I know that people have come back within the same families. That has happened. I don't think it happens as often. But it's, fairly quick for that, to occur. So what do you guys think about the situation there?
I'll jump in first that I think, like you said, Bob, I would say there might be elements of, I have to qualify that, because I know you have seen in your own family some little characteristics or traits in your grandson that you totally could have seen your daughter behaving in that way or saying sassy things like that. But for our viewer who asks the question, because the child was stillborn, there aren't those characteristics to look for. So that's kind of a tough one to say. But I'll let you speak, Tom.
Well, from what I have read about reincarnation, when an entity does reincarnate, it was a physical being, person at first, who passed away, and then his energy went into another person who was later born, either, as you say, to the same family or different families or, and that sort of thing. And the point I would like to make is that these are two distinct humans that are existing. So I would, my recommendation to our questioner is that Haley was her own person. And if there are soulful connections with your next baby, as there are soulful connections with every baby, actually, but if there is a stronger soulful connection, it's still that your new baby will be a new, entirely its own person. So I think that, yes, you can honor Haley, and you can call your new baby a new name, and it will be a new person with a new personality. And if they share a soul connection, that's a good thing as well.
All right, let's go on to another question. It says, does it take time for a spirit to become acquainted to life as a spirit? And how long is this time period? And do they have to learn or be trained in how to communicate with the living? So I would say yes. Does it take time for a spirit to become acquainted to life as a spirit? Sure, it seems that way from everything that we know and we've learned. I mean, think about it. You're thrust into a new world. I mean, what if you grew up in an indigenous tribe in the Amazon and I plucked you out and I put you in the middle of New York City? I mean, do you think you'd be able, you need some time to acclimate to that? I mean, you know, so it's a different, it's a different world. And maybe, when people passed over, they didn't even believe that there was life after death, and now they find themselves alive. So I think there is a learning curve, and I think that we have help, that, you know, we're not sole operators, you know, and we have help on the other side, you know, and we grow and we move along. I don't think there's a time period is a physical term. You know, we have timetables, but they don't. So I don't think we can say it's X amount of time. For some, it's longer than others. You know, maybe somebody had attachments to the material world. Maybe they suffered terribly with an illness, and they need like recuperative time. You know, or maybe you know, for some it's quick. So you know, I think that's all. You know, we're all over the place with that. And the last part of the question, I would say, I think absolutely they have to learn to communicate. I mean, how would you know? You know, I mean, you know, like we've talked about on the show, we think that there are mediums on the other side, you know, so to speak, not that they call themselves mediums, that help people cross over in the techniques of communicating. I'll throw it to you guys.
I'm kind of envisioning, and based on some of what we've all read now in that book we like to talk about, Testimony of Light, that it could almost be as though the way a baby's born into this life and sleeps a lot and wakes up and looks around and goes back to sleep, and that is quite a period of time for a baby to adapt to being here in physical form. It may be quite similar when you get reborn into this other dimension. And similar to babies don't come out of the womb talking, it may take time to learn to speak that language. I know with medium reading a very evidential one that I had recently, which was the first time I felt like I was having communication from my mother, that she was talking about, and I believe I mentioned this on the last radio program, she mentioned, I still can't believe I'm here. And it's like she's pinching herself. And forgive me for repeating this if others heard it, but she said, it's very peaceful here. It's very much like on the earth, but different. It's peaceful. She goes, and you wanted to know this. And she's, so apparently my mom in spirit is telling the medium to tell me that I did want to know what it was like on the other side. And that is true. And it's something my mom and I spoke about often when she was here. So it was kind of cool, I thought. But maybe that communication piece and all the rest of it we could equate to, you know, a newborn.
Yes, and also there are many stories that I've heard of spirits, when they cross to the other side, they don't realize that they've actually passed over. They feel that they're still alive. So there's a disorientation there. And then I've also heard stories of mediums who speak to a spirit and have to tell them that it's okay to move on, that you are go to the light or something like that. So I definitely think there's a disorientation period with the crossing. Maybe that's, as you mentioned earlier, Bob, that has something to do with your belief system. If you believe, as we do, that you are going on to the next phase after you leave this world, maybe you could become acclimated sooner than later. I remember when I had an accident, it's been about 20 years now that I had my accident, and I remember it was an incident where I fell and I was on a short spiked fence, and I thought for sure that I was going to be impaled by the spikes, and I found myself suddenly on the other side standing up looking back, and I thought, oh my gosh, I must have got impaled and now I'm dead and I'm going to turn around and see my body lying there. And I was amazed when I turned around and there was no body and that I was still in physical form. So I do believe that there can be a period of disorientation, and as both of you have said, certainly a learning experience and how to handle our new abilities.
Right. Question: When a fiance passes away, will he always be watching over me during my lifetime here on Earth? Also, will he meet me in my afterlife so we can spend eternity together? So I think our loved ones in spirit, do watch over us, but it doesn't mean that they're with us what we would term 24 hours a day, constant, as they were in the physical. They have a different perspective. They have another world to explore. They have other truths that they have to seek. But at the same time, I think they always keep a hand in, or they're always close by to the ones that they loved in the physical. So I do believe that your fiance will be watching over you. Most certainly, you'll meet up again, in the afterlife. I mean, that's what near-death experiences tell us, and that's what the channel reports tell us, that's one of the wonderful things about being reborn into the next realm, is that you get to see those who have passed before you. So certainly is something to look forward to.
Yes, and I have to caution the person, because it sounds like, with our answer, that say some time passes and you meet someone else who you feel a physical attraction to, and you're lonely and you want to be with them, but then you say, oh, wait a minute, I remember what the gathering told me, that my fiance is still back there. I don't want to be unfaithful to him or her until I get to the other side. No, often, and we've heard stories of these through mediums, that not only does your deceased loved one want you to continue living a physical life to its fullest, they will often orchestrate putting somebody in your path to satisfy your physical needs for companionship. And don't by any means think that you're being unfaithful if you find somebody else to love while you're still in the physical world. And again, because we're all one soul, basically, in the energy of the afterlife, you're not going to upset your fiancé, and you will still meet up with your fiancé. The people you love the most, you will see when you cross over.
And I think it's important to remember, for anyone who's lost a loved one, to speak of them often. I think when your loved one in spirit hears their name, they come closer to listen, and also to touch objects that were significant, maybe something that your loved one had given you or something that was meaningful to both of you. I think all of these are connections to our loved one in spirit, and it just keeps that bond strong.
Yeah, and just mention that you're listening to The Gathering, and we're taking your questions. And in case you'd like to call in with a question, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. Here's an interesting one, Tom and Melissa. My husband passed to the other side in 2019. At the time I was listening to your last broadcast, I noticed that a picture of the both of us together had fallen off the wall. The glass of the frame did not break, and I fixed it, and it fell shortly after that again, and I fixed it again, and it hasn't fallen off the wall since. Could this be a sign that my deceased husband is trying to let me know that he's still here, but in spirit form? So
I would
take it, especially if it hasn't happened, you know, since. And it's certainly not the first time we've heard this. I mean, they're going to look for ways to manipulate, you know, energy in a way that's sort of striking, so you understand it's them, but yeah, they're not going to do anything that's going to frighten you. So, I would take it. If you were thinking of them and you called in and that happened, why not? I mean, who's to say that it's not a sign?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a call. We have Diane on line one. Hello, Diane. Hi.
Hello, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I lost the love of my life back in January, and we had this word that we made up, and I said to somebody, if I hear that word, I'm going to know that he's communicating with me. And a friend of mine called me who had never met my significant other ever. And he called and he said, I heard from Joe. And I said, what do you mean you heard from Joe? He goes, I had a dream about him. I said, you don't even know what he looks like. How could you dream about him? And he said, he told me that he loved you infinitely. And it gave me pause because the word that we made up was Infinius.
Oh.
And I assume that it was him letting me know. He used the word infinitely so this gentleman could understand the word.
Exactly.
But I would understand. Do you think that I'm right about that?
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
And not only that, you know, from talking to mediums, you know, mediums have an issue. They'll get a word, but not exactly, you know. So, I mean, that's mm-hmm. a hard word, you know, Infinius, you know. So he did a pretty good job in getting, infinitely, you know, instead of the other word. And we also know that our loved ones, if for some reason they can't get through directly to you, they will get through to some other conduit where they know that the message will get to you. In this case, it was your acquaintance, you know, that,
right.
They knew. So, yeah, I mean, I would say, I would definitely take that.
I can take that, really?
I would definitely take that.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
I would say, too, Diane, it's so much more meaningful this way, because if you had had that dream, whether the word came through or not, you'd be still questioning it. Like, oh, is that just my imagination? But when spirit comes through to somebody else, especially someone that your partner didn't know,
right.
It's so much
right.
more significant.
Thank you so much. I can't. You've lifted my spirits so much. Thank you so very much.
Well,
I'm glad that I thought maybe I was just, you know, reaching for. Thank you for validating me.
Not the way you described it. I'm sure you'll get a lot more communication too.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
I hope so. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Okay. You too. Bye. Here's a question that was addressed to me. We talk about it. It says, I recently watched Surviving Death, and I enjoyed watching, he mentions Laurel Lynn Jackson giving readings and learning about some of the services that Forever Family Foundation offers grieving families. I was, however, surprised that the documentary didn't mention that your foundation certifies mediums. Did they ever ask you about your certification process? And can you tell me about how that works? And the answer is, they have about 15 hours of film in the can about our certification process. I mean, they actually filmed a reading taking place. You know, they took film in our office as we were doing it. So, yeah, but you know the way that TV film works, and the producer had said to me that she was sorry that the certification portion, didn't make it in. But as we've discussed before, they had something like 70 or 80 hours of film with just our foundation, and we're just one small part of it, and we had about, out of those, 70 hours of film, we had, 30 minutes of content. So, it was unfortunate, and I agree with you. I wish that it's an important part of what we do, and I wish that would have gotten in. And as far as there is a description of the process on our website under the mediumship tab, as a certified mediums, page. And, we won't get into too much detail, but, it's conducted under controlled conditions, and a prospective medium has many steps to go through, the last step of which is being actually evaluated, and they do a series of five different readings, and we score it using five different methods. It's comprehensive, it's difficult, but it's proven to be, a valuable tool for us. So.
I think too, Bob, it's important to mention if anybody is the organization itself never goes out and seeks mediums to become certified. They have to find it on their own or be recommended by a friend who knows about it. But also, if mediums have gone through the process and they didn't get through on the first try, I think they should try again if they keep honing their abilities. Tom and I are fans of American Idol. They invite those young singers, keep at it and come back and try again. So please, if any mediums are listening, don't give up if you don't get through on the first try, and just be proud of, that of FFF for holding itself to the utmost highest standards, because if anyone's going to recommend a medium to a grieving person, you really want to make sure that they're evidential. They, name, rank, and serial number. You want to hear all of that in a reading.
Here's a question that's come up before in different forms. The person writes that my daughter passed 3 years ago. I used to get many signs and messages from her, but the last 6 months she's been quiet. I wonder if it's me that's not being open enough, or our loved ones on the other side, just busy. Yeah, I guess, I wish we had a definitive answer on that.
Yeah.
We do know that signs and communications are more prevalent, closer to the date of passing than in the distant future. But, having said that, you know, we know there are cases where the communication takes place 50, 60 years later, yeah. You know, so it's not like they're totally disconnected. It's what we said before. They're always going to remain connected to you. And obviously you were getting communications before, so it's not a question that you're not open to it. Of course you are. And are they busy on the other side? I would imagine so, you know, and don't forget, I mean, we're grieving here, but they don't feel grief the way we feel, you know, grief. So it becomes a point where they know they're going to see you again. They know that you're on your own journey. They know that this is just a little blip. So, you know, as time goes on, it would make sense that the communications are a little less. I mean, you guys see that too, right? I mean, that most people say they don't get as many down the road as they got. I mean, I found that myself. So,
yeah, I've heard that. And I guess a lot of it, I mean, the two things, one that you said, that time on the other side, again, the human soul, or the soul is eternal. And our physical lifespan, if lucky, is close to 100 years. Well, 100 years in terms of eternity is a blip. It's a blink of an eye. So whereas we're here living day to day going, oh, gee, I haven't heard from you in a while, they're over there, as you say, they're learning and doing things and realizing, well, yeah, my loved one's going to be along soon anyway, you know, that kind of thing, for one. For another, I've also noticed that they don't necessarily, they come back and give you comfort. They come back to tell you that they're okay and all their pain is gone and that they still love you and they will be there when you get there. But they still let you live your physical life. Whatever it is that you have signed on for to come to this physical world, you need to learn on your own. So they will, as I say, give you the reassurance of love and that, but they are not going to interfere in your life path.
Right. You know, this is not a question. Our friend Dave Kane, you know, of course, you know, sure. You know Dave Kane. He sent me a poem the other day, and actually I heard him read it and I asked him to send it to me. He didn't write it. He's not the author. The author is anonymous, but it really struck a chord. Let me read this to you and tell me what you think. It's called In the Light. It says, "A shadow of joy flickered. It is me. I told you I wouldn't leave. My spirit is with you. My memories, my thoughts are embedded deep in your heart. I still love you. Do not for one moment think that you have been abandoned. I am in the light. In the corner, in the hall, the car, the yard, these are the places I stay with you. My spirit rises every time you pray for me, and my energy comes closer to you. Love does not diminish, it grows stronger. I am the feather that finds you in the yard, the dim light that grows brighter in your mind. I place our memories for you to see. We lived in our special way, a way that now has its focus changed. I still crave your understanding and long for the many words of prayer and good fortune for my soul. I am in the light. As you struggle to adjust without me, I watch silently. Sometimes I summon up all the strength of my new world to make you notice me. Impressed by your grief, I try to impress my love deeper into your consciousness. As you should, I call out to the heavens for help. You should know that the fountain of youth does exist. My soul is now healthy. Your love sends me newfound energy. I am adjusting to this new world. I am with you, and I am in the light. Please don't feel bad that you can't see me. I'm with you wherever you go. I protect you just as you protected me so many times. Talk to me, and somehow I will find a way to answer you. Mother, father, son or daughter, it makes no difference. Brother, sister, lover, husband or wife, it makes no difference. Whatever our connection, friend, or even foe, I see you with my new eyes. I am learning to help wherever you are, wherever I am needed. This can be done because I am in the light. When you feel despair, reach out to me. I will come. My love for you truly transcends heaven to earth. Finish your life with the enthusiasm and zest that you have had when we were together in the physical sense. You owe this to me, but more importantly, you owe it to yourself. Life continues to both of us. I am with you because I love you, and I am in the light.
That's
a good one. Pretty much says it all, right?
Yeah,
it absolutely does. It would be intriguing to know the author and the period of time that was written. I'm always intrigued by that, but it never changes. Love never ends. It's always there.
And I like the line, the one particular line about I feel the love and you, it energizes me. Yeah. And I've always been a proponent that love is the fuel of the universe. And when we do send out the love to our loved ones and let them know that we love them, that we are basically filling their tank and giving them the energy to continue whatever it is they're doing on the other side.
Let's continue with some questions. How do I know my loved ones who are already deceased will be able to find me when I die? Will they remember me? I was thinking as I'm reading that, I guess about 6 months ago, I was watching one of these documentaries on National Geographic or whatever, but it was about penguins, and it showed that, the penguins, they'll swim literally, thousands of miles to go to this one specific island, and unbelievable physical hardship. And then they get to this island and they show you, and there are literally 400,000 to 500,000 penguins on this huge monster island. And yet the male, finds his mate, like it's mind boggling, how is that possible? They all look exactly the same. There's 500,000 of them. Yeah. They just swam like 3,000 miles, and I think of that. They find them because the only explanation really is they find them because what Tom was talking about, because of that love bond, and my sense of it is that's how our loved ones find us, because we're never really truly apart. We're still connected, and they just know, when we're there. There's no GPS, they're going to find us, and of course they're going to remember you, So I'm sure you don't disagree.
It's so hard to envision in our poor little human brains, but it you're right. It's the penguin effect.
It wouldn't hurt to have a big carnation, though.
Yeah. like the limo guys at the airport, here's a question. We all can feel the despair, as she wrote it, and not just summarize it, but her son died March 1st, 2021. I mean, it was, just 1 month. And he was 23, and she said, I found him in his room. It was too late when she found him. But her frustration is that she hasn't been able to dream about him, and she doesn't see any signs, and she feels like he is hiding from me, she said. And she's devastated, and she wants, but it's been 30 days, and we were just talking about that. It takes time to learn. He's not hiding from you. The love bond is there. He probably desperately wants to learn how to get through to you. But give it time. Give it some time. And I know we all want these things to happen right away. But and you're in such devastation right now, you know, you might be blocking out, you know, him getting through. So you guys have anything you want to add to that? Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say, you know, she's still in a bit of shock over this, and signs aren't, they're subtle. They can be so subtle, and if you're not clearly thinking, and I don't know how you can be after a loss like that, that she should just be gentle with herself and trust in that love, because he is there for her, and eventually, you know, the dust settles a little bit. There will be those signs, but don't give up hope. Talk to him, speak to him, and you'll be surprised. And the signs, again, can be very, very subtle. So please don't, you know, put yourself through any more despair over that.
Right, and also know that he may be learning how to send you signs, how to communicate. But you can be sure of one thing, he hears you. So keep talking to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much, you know, maybe he's feeling that you're angry with him for leaving you this way. You know, forgive him for that and just keep sending the love and keep talking to him. Talk to his picture at night or before you go to bed and keep the communication flowing his way, mm-hmm. and eventually, hopefully, it will flow your way as well.
Well, the question is, you know, why did someone that I don't know, you know, come through during a medium reading?
I think that's too... someone came through a medium reading... Was it identified any other connection? Like, is this, well, you know, I have to even back it up even more. Did the medium explain who this person was?
Yeah, you know, we don't really know, you know, but, you know, very, very often people, mediums start describing with great detail an entity, and the sitter, you know, has no idea, you know, and those is usually what we call drop-in communicators, you know, so the medium doesn't know who the communicator is, the sitter doesn't know who the communicator is, and yet the person in spirit is bringing forth evidential information. Now, sometimes the sitter can later investigate and find out, you know, who this was, or maybe this person in spirit just, hey, here's a medium I can get through to. Let me get through now. You know,
You're right, Bob. There are all sorts of possibilities because that person who that stranger dropped in on, that person, the sitter, might later be in the supermarket and the person in line in front of them, you know, might be related, but nobody knows to say anything.
Right. And you illustrated it earlier in the show with the person whose friend dreamed about her fiancé coming through. So that's coming to somebody else. So in that regard, if, like everybody's saying here now, a medium is a conduit, and spirits are looking for conduits any way they can to get a message to their loved one. And here's a medium. What, you can hear me? Oh, you got to tell them this and tell my, you know, get the message. And sometimes it makes no sense to the sitter. I've certainly been in plenty of readings like that.
Yeah. And by the way, if you do get one of those drop-in communicators and you are able later to identify who, you know, who that was, it's a great argument for that mediumship is real and that the medium is not simply reading the mind of the sitter because the sitter didn't know the person, you know.
Yes.
So it's a good thing. Let's go to another call. We have Tim on the line. So, Tim, are you with us?
I am.
Nice to have you.
Nice to be here. Thank you. I just wanted to share with you a couple of experiences that I've had in my life and maybe get some feedback from you folks regarding your thoughts on it.
Okay.
First experience, my wife's grandmother. She was probably closer to her than her own mother. And her grandmother was born in 1899 and died in 1999. Now, my wife is not one to go to cemeteries. She doesn't like to think about death. But about 10 years after her grandmother died, she decides that we both did to go to the cemetery and visit the grave. Later that day, my wife is going through spare change in her pocket, and she says to me, look at this. And she pulls out something that looks like a dime, and it turns out my wife's grandmother collected Liberty dimes. But this wasn't a dime. This is actually a penny. But it wasn't an Indian head penny. It was a different type of penny that you normally don't see. But clear as day was the year 1899. And
wow.
We still have this in a very special place. We just were shocked. We almost fell over when we looked at this. First of all, 110 years later, are you seeing coins in circulation like this? And two, if they are in circulation, how could you possibly read the date and everything is clear as day on this? That's the first experience we had. Second one, when I was a kid, my dad said to me that he saw a recurring dream, the only recurring dream he ever had in his life, where he saw the number 789 up on the clouds. He thought these were his lucky numbers, and he played these numbers for the lottery and that type of stuff, and as far as I know, never won with these numbers. When he first told me this, and he probably told me this three or four times over the course of his life, I always thought somehow this was predicting his death. And I was probably 10, maybe younger than that when he first told me this. So I wasn't quite sure how that was going to predict his death, but I thought it somehow related to dates. So when September 1987 rolled around, which is 9/8/7, I was a little concerned, but he was okay. When July 1989 rolled around, I was a little concerned, but he was okay. When July 8, 1990 came in, he was in the hospital dying. And I told my mother I thought he was going to die that day. Well, he didn't. He died 11 days after that. So he died on July 19, 1990. And, you know, I sat there and I said, well, 9 minus 1 is 8. And then I thought, no, this doesn't feel right. You know, I didn't think about it. So about 2 days later, after his death, and anybody that's lost somebody close, you know that you just feel numb after somebody dies. And you many times don't think about anything. You're just numb. And I was actually sitting in my dad's chair, and I had thought about this 789 off and on for a lot of my life. But all of a sudden, the thought just came to me. It was just there out of the numbness. My dad was 78 years old in the year 1990. So is that a coincidence?
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe not. The last thing I'd like to share with you, if we still have time, is I sang at a friend's wedding, and this is maybe about 10 years ago now. And I have a group of friends that we grew up, we were in the same classes through junior high school and high school, and we've kept in touch and stayed together, and we knew each other's parents and all of that. So one friend came to the service with his parents, and his father had Alzheimer's. I'll call him Mr. K. And so I knew he had Alzheimer's, and I hadn't seen him in a few years. But I'm now singing at this wedding. So my wife is there. My friends are there. They actually sit on the opposite side of the church, and this church was wider more than long. And so they're far away from me. And so I'm getting ready to begin singing, and I'm trying to figure out how to do this because there were no ushers, and everybody in front of me is just talking about themselves and not paying attention to the fact that we're going to have a wedding ceremony. It reminded me of Picasso's Guernica, just the confusion of the situation. At any rate, I looked far across to the side of the church where they were sitting. And remarkably, because it was so far away and people are in between, I had a clear shot to Mr. K. And I notice that he looks like he's glowing. And I thought, oh, he must be sitting near a window. And I go back, and I'm kind of getting ready to sing, and, you know, I'm trying to center myself and get focused on this. And I look back over there, and he's still glowing. And I'm thinking, this is very strange. And he is looking right at me, directly at me, from 40 feet across the church, all of this confusion going on, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, again, my mind is sort of very focused at this point. I hear back up above me and to my left a thought. It was not a voice. It was a loud scream. I'm still here. And the first thought I had is, I can't deal with this now. I've got to do this singing. That was in the first half second. Then the next second was, wait a second, what the hell just happened? And I'm thinking to myself, why did this happen and how did it happen? And so what happens? I start singing the opening song, which is the wedding song. And it starts off, he is now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part. And I thought to myself, well, there's the why. The next verse, the union of his spirits here has caused him to remain. Whenever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. And then I thought, okay, that answers the other question. That was an incredibly strange experience. We went actually to Mr. and Mrs. K's house afterwards. He wasn't glowing at that point. But, you know, I thought, this is very strange because nobody else was glowing, and he was glowing. I'm curious whether you've ever encountered these types of stories before.
Wow.
Yeah, actually, you know, we've been encountering the similar stories for the 18 years that we've been doing this. And, you know, Tim, it's not only the communications and the experiences themselves, but it's the feeling that you have that's associated with them. So when you found that coin, and for all the reasons that you mentioned, I mean, when you step back and you look at it from an analytical point of view, the odds that a coin would be in circulation, as you mentioned, 100 years later, and with that exact date, I mean, you just knew. You just knew that there was no physical explanation for that. You know, so that's a great example, you know, of a sign, if you want to call it, you know, an apport, you know, that was materialized or whatever it was. I would bet that there was no question in your mind at that point that this was a communication, you know. And, you know, as far as people glowing, I mean, we're all entities of energy, you know, and thought, and people have different auras, and you were in the zone where you saw it, you know. So these things, so many people dismiss these things when they happen needlessly, you know, so they should be treasured. And I'm sure, listen, it's been all these years and you remember them like they just happened yesterday, right?
Yeah, they had a major impact, and you know, they were so sort of profound that was yelled so loud, I'm still here, that I remember looking at the people in the church and thinking to myself, well, somebody else has got to have heard this because it was just so loud. And of course, nobody had reacted at all. I don't personally think I'm very psychic. I probably am too analytic to be psychic. But, you know, if I could get the analytic part of my brain out of the way, maybe I could experience these things. I really appreciate what you guys do. Like I said, I tend to be analytic, and I like to look for an explanation for all of this stuff. I always feel that the problem with this is we don't really have the mechanism for this. And wouldn't it be nice? You know, I just saw a thing today. I don't mean to go down a rabbit hole on this, but people, they generally talk about, oh, there's something related to quantum mechanics and all this other stuff. And I thought, well, maybe that's the case. But You know, we're constantly discovering new stuff. People know about dark matter and dark energy. They just came out with a thing that said, you know what? There may not be dark energy. It may just be dark matter and a magnetic field around dark matter that's pushing everything apart. So we're constantly learning these new things, but I'd love for somebody somehow to come up with the mechanism for where we go when we go to this next plane, and what's the mechanism for how mediums can communicate with folks? Because obviously there is some type of mechanism. We just don't know what it is at this point. So I really appreciate what you guys do and bring to, you know, the audience. I try to get through when you have mediums here and I never get through, but I'm glad I got through tonight, and I really appreciate your the sentiments that you've given me here.
We thank you. Appreciate your sharing with us. And
if we have time, I'd like to address some of that if I can.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes.
I just want to say, first of all, that I'm very much into the number spotting as well. So that is a key. But I feel the totality of the three stories is a great illustration of just how close we are to the spirit world. That you talk about a different plane. Well, it isn't a different plane. It's the same plane. The only thing that's different is the vibrations. You know, if you take a table or a stone, it feels as solid as a rock, and because it's vibrating very slowly, and our bodies are vibrating faster because we're moving around, we're what we call alive, but after we shed the mortal coil, we're vibrating even faster, but we haven't gone anywhere, just our vibrations are different. So when a medium says, well, he's standing right beside you, he's standing right beside you. I mean, when you're in spirit, you can stand right beside everybody in this realm, but you could also have the ability to go to the moon or go back to 1776. You have a lot more freedom, but it's the same world. We're all on the same plane. We're just vibrating differently. And if people, as you also mentioned, turn off that analytical brain, you know, meditation's a great way to do that, to shut off the conscious mind that is telling you that this is bunk or something like that, and just go with the flow of the universe, you'll find that there's a lot more interaction going on every day between our physical selves and our eternal soul.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
I don't disagree with what you said. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's science. That's why, you know, the scientists today are studying all these various disciplines of research, and you're right, there is this, I suspect, the same underlying mechanism that's responsible for mediumship and near-death experiences and after-death communications and the whole gamut. You know, it may that's why the research today is on consciousness, you know, so the consciousness is responsible for all of that. We've reached the end of the show. I appreciate everybody's participation. Melissa, do you have something to say about to close the show?
I would like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.